Welcome back to Incremental, the Continuous Improvement Podcast. This is our practice edition where we go through improvements we made throughout the week and tie them back to lean principles. I'm Uriel Eisen of Austere Manufacturing.
And I am Devin Bodoni of Lycan Precision.
And you got a quote?
How do you eat that elephant? One bite at a time. From the Side Hustle Show.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only way to do it, right?
Yeah, I love that, though, because it is very daunting to eat an elephant.
Yeah.
But the only available action is probably one bite at a time.
Yeah, aside from, I'm trying to think of, like, what
another option. Liquefying the element.
Gross.
You get one gulp at a time.
I mean, it's that, or, like, you get a big team, and you all do it one bite at a time, right?
Yeah.
But single piece flow it.
I don't single know. Piece flow, eat that bite.
You each do swallow one, chew. Gross. The person at the end does all the swallowing. Sorry, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but I feel like that's good kind of analogy to improvements. I think one of the goals with this podcast is showing the process, because like when you see those shop tours of some of the places that have been doing this for between 10 and 70 years, it's like looking at an elephant, and then it's like, yeah, you should do that. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And the reality is that all of those businesses took a really long time to get there. And so so being daunting is understandable, but unfortunate.
Right. And there's so many, my family was just here visiting. I was talking about kind of what the purpose of this podcast was. And I was like, well, it's about showing kind of in process, in part because like there's so many contradictory themes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like, right? Like if you were to sit down and eat an elephant, it is one bite at a time, but you're like, okay, do I start with the skin? I mean, it's going to go bad if I just,
right.
Like you can't just like start at one end and work your way to the other. Like there is actually a lot of complexity here, and you have to approach it in a methodical manner. And some aspects of it will be contradictory to other aspects of it.
Right.
And so I think that is sort of part, also what we're trying to express here.
Express / untangle live.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every time I reread a book or, I don't know, read some article, I'm reminded of aspects of like lean best practices.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, right. And that is directly contradictory at face value to this other lean best practice.
Yeah.
And that is really hard to wrap your head around. And I think the reality is they all come to bear because life is complicated, basically.
Yeah.
And if you do that all the time, it's very powerful, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, one bite at a time. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. I feel like that's been definitely the thing with our whole tooling overhaul.
Mm.
We still have at least 3/4 of an elephant, I think.
Interesting. But it sounds like you're coming out, you're getting to the point where it's delivering value.
Yes, I think
which is such a nice tipping point.
It is.
Because then it's like its own fuel kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're like, okay, this is working. Here's the little spots where we need to
eat more elephant.
Eat more elephant. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. When you start to get value out of it, it's such a big, big thing. It's been the same with our new Airtable, quote unquote. I don't know what to call it. It's not really an ERP, but I don't know. Job management system.
And it's not an ERP because it's not forward looking and driving material purchases. And then it's also not linked into any sort of accounting, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good distinction.
Okay.
Like
ERPs are
enterprise resource planning.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily say we're using it for planning. We're using it for management and tracking. And then storage.
There's a ton of acronyms that I'm becoming privy to with Arda.
Uh-huh.
On some calls, people are like, oh, have you used any, I forget the acronym now,
right,
but it's like manufacturing systems planning softwares. And I'm like, what? quick Google. Oh, yes.
Yeah. We do purchasing sort of through it. Mm. I mean, kind of, like, in the sense that we, at least at present, track what needs to be ordered and what has been ordered.
Oh, cool.
And who it's coming from. So it's sort of like ERP adjacent, but
it sounds like it's very much dealing with the present moment.
Yeah, I would say that's true. Yeah.
Which is kind of great, because once it's forward looking, you really dive deep into garbage in, garbage out. And so now all your data needs to be like bang on.
Right. It's present moment and then tracking, like, a big thing we are going to be, we are tackling and will continue to tackle is, you know, basic thing like document management, right? Like,
yeah,
at this point there's minimum 4 or 5 documents that have to be attached to each job.
Okay.
Right. You have a purchase order from your customer. You have, probably have packing slips and certs from your material vendor.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes you'll have, and then a packing slip to your customer. Oftentimes you'll have purchase order packing slips to any outside vendors.
Right.
And all of that stuff sort of needs to be attached in a way that it's like very easy to find, very easy to attach.
Right.
And making that system streamlined is pretty important. And where that comes into play, right, is like if anything does go wrong, you need to be able to go back and find it quickly. And then as we start to get into inspection tracking, that will be.
Have you looked at any email integration with that?
No.
Because I bet it could send a lot of those emails with the click of a button.
Which emails?
Like, here are all the documents for, like, to your anodizer or to whatever. And it could sort of aggregate that and send it.
That'd be cool.
I feel like would be nice.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out how to generate the documents in a smooth manner.
Yeah.
Which I think should be doable, but also might be one of those frustrating Airtable quirks. Like, it does some document creation fantastically.
Yeah.
And then some of it is like, why is this so hard?
Yeah. Yeah, we've been bumping up against some of that.
With Coda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does some things well and some things really not well.
Yeah.
And then there's, you take that low code environment and turn it into a code
environment. A heavy code environment.
And yeah. Yeah, Kyle's managed to hack together most of the things we need.
Uh-huh. But it starts to end up being like a Frankenstein.
No, it works. It's just very time consuming.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
But it's like a combo of code, no code, like this weird amalgamation.
Well, you click into some of these like conditional formatting cells and it's like scroll, scroll, scroll. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
Interesting.
Which is cool, but yeah.
Jump into some improvements here.
Yeah.
Alrighty. What you got?
I have a bunch of Arda specific features that we added. So a printing queue, so that if you're at your computer making cards, but you're not actually printing them out, which obviously violates single piece flow, and that is a separate conversation. But I've just run into the like, oh, I need to, like, I'm on the boat or I'm at home and I need to place an order. And we sort of have a rule that you don't place orders without a card.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, we need a card for this. And then I make the card. And then it was just like vanishing into the ether.
Uh-huh.
Not actually, but like it's in there captured fully. Right.
But you have to go
you have
find
to remember
it
to go find it.
Yeah.
So instead we added a queue. So instead of saying like complete, you can add it to the queue.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get in, you can just print all of them off. We added color coding that prints to the cards, which is kind of nice because I had been...
Wait, how are you printing them with color?
We're not yet. That's next. but a few of our customers are. So they wanted color coding. We were talking about using colored paper because that's what I was using. And then it's like, wait a second. How nice would it be if you just had a printer that was set up? And yes, you're paying a little bit more per card, but it just works. So we added that. And that works well. And then I'm trying to see if there's any other, added bulk printing, added, bundle purchasing. So like if you're always going to buy, this is specific to like van build outs, which is, if you're going to buy a water tank and you also need the mounting brackets, you're always going to buy a water tank and mounting brackets.
Yeah.
And so kind of just enabling that workflow. I was trying to think about whether that's useful for my shop. I haven't really come up with a good system, but I could imagine around maintenance where it's like, we're going to like every now and then you change out all these parts. You could just sort of make a sort of a bulk order.
Like air compressor maintenance. Like you're going to get like the suite of filters.
Exactly. Oh, that's a great example. I just did that and I'm going to do it again in a year. So yeah, that's a great idea. It's been very interesting trying to stick to like lean best practices while implementing some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not selling to lean companies.
Right.
Like some of them are interested. Some of them are lean and are very interested. And some of them, I mean, there's the full range.
Couldn't be bothered or care.
Couldn't be bothered. But I do still think it's like an important North Star.
Yeah.
In that I think the reason they're all interested to begin with is because it is quite a bit simpler than most. It's not an ERP, right? Uh-huh. So like, it's not like a huge lift and data entry ongoing and all this stuff. It's like very simple. And so just trying to stick to that simplicity and add features has been an interesting balancing act that so far we've achieved. Like so far we add a thing, it gets very complicated, it sucks to use. And then we're just like munch on it and simplify. But
can I ask you a question? In the weeds question?
Please.
So let's say you have like your water tank bracket scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's not something they keep on hand.
Right.
So how does that work in a Kanban triggering system? Like, because they're not going to pull it and then get the card.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. I don't know is the short answer.
Uh-huh.
I have a few ideas of how it could work.
Yeah.
And then the question is, so the other very interesting thing is, if it's not a stocked item, then there's a few options. But there's also a time element of like, how long do you have between when you know you need it and when you need it?
Yeah.
Sorry. Between when you know you will need it and when you actually need it.
Yeah.
And so in this case, and like with maintenance items, you have like a week or two or three. So it's shorter than the delivery time.
Uh-huh.
And so there's really no sense in sitting on that inventory.
Yeah.
And so then the question is just like, where do you want to build that trigger into the system?
Yeah.
But functionally, the system can still streamline your purchasing process.
Yeah.
Immensely. And so...
So the trigger can literally just be like a card file. Or something.
It can be a lot of things. Yeah. So like one thought specific to Vans is to actually have an item on the shelf that is that item, and maybe it got scratched, maybe it's damaged, maybe something.
Yeah.
Because that allows someone dealing in like a physical build to pick up an example and walk it over to a van and be like, okay, it does fit. Oh, wait, this mounting bracket interferes with that thing.
Yeah.
But then there would just be a stack of cards next to it. And every time you sort of get an order and you go do your shopping,
you
could pull that card and trigger an order. And then it will still arrive in time. That is one idea. Another idea is
that seems like not a 100. That seems like a hit or miss kind of solution, though, unless you're going to go around with a hammer and bang up a bunch of inventory.
Hit or miss for that reason. Hit or miss because it's a tremendous amount of waste. Like, why walk around shelves to pull off random little cards?
Yeah.
I think more likely that is a good method of dealing with expensive items with long lead times, that every single item has a card on it, but then you leave like five cards behind it without items. And so now if it's, you would, anyway.
Yeah.
Very in the weeds.
Interesting problem.
It is. Yeah. And then the last option is that if you have, like when you check out on a website and you're configuring some product and it's like, okay, I'm going to get this van with a water tank. Here are all the water tank options.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an option of taking it from that perspective where you're sort of not in the world of Kanban.
Yeah.
It's just a method of, at that point, streamlining the purchasing process. What is kind of interesting with these kits is like, let's say you get a water tank with mounting brackets and then you're presumably going to screw that in or bolt that in.
Yeah.
Do you add the bolts to that bulk order? Probably not, because it's probably a Kanban item on your shop floor.
Uh-huh.
And so then there's sort of this weird interplay there.
Yeah.
But this is like back to last episode. My suspicion is that a lot of these groups, once they see how smoothly Kanban can work,
yeah,
that they're going to realize that the cost of variety, I mean, which is funny because part of the point of Toyota is to offer a tremendous amount of option, like tons of options.
Configurability.
To people. Yeah. But I do think that there's going to be some interplay where they just realize like consistency is really critical from your suppliers.
Yeah.
And like stability on that front is going to be a huge value to them.
Yeah. I would problem solving here just cause it's fun.
Yeah, please.
I mean, it seems like a very simple solution would just be to have like a playing card notebook.
Yeah.
And you have like a page for all of your water and you just like scan the one you want.
That was sort of our first concept. I worry that people will feel like it's stupid. Even though I don't think it is, for the same reason we discussed last episode about having a whiteboard, is anyone can walk up to that whiteboard and see all the stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to like dig into a file and sort by enough filters to get just the list of heaters.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, heaters. Yeah. Here are the ones we have. So
that's what I would do.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Anyway, we'll see what, and I think different people are going to treat it differently. Yeah. But
that's it seems like a cool way to with the like trigger. Right. Like your trigger is somebody ordered it. And then the question is just like, how do you find the information that you need to actually place the order?
Yeah. But that doesn't feel, I mean, probably yes. And I suspect that will be very useful. I also think it will be very useful to have a complete workflow that during the configuration process, you can just be entering it into a big form that's like, okay, now you're going to assign a heater.
Yeah.
And that heater, you're actually assigning a heater package. So it's the heater, it's the duct you need to order, it's the brackets to mount it, it's all the things.
Yeah.
And then when you hit add to cart, it's going to take all of that stuff from your essentially bill of materials and it's going to add it to your cart, which is going to sort it out by vendor automatically. So there's no sense really in flipping through a notebook, a binder to like...
Yeah.
That said, I think there is a point of that binder, which would be kind of like, I mean, I guess it might be useful for customers to look through. It might be useful for people in the shop to walk in and like leaf through it and scan the card so that they can pull up the info and edit it or add something to the notes.
Oh, yeah.
Like it could be a nice access point.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited to figure out these edge cases because like... Right. Straight up, like you want to maintain inventory on this shelf of this item, like we can knock that out of the park.
Yeah.
But all the other stuff is going to be interesting.
Yeah. The where triggers go question is just a generally interesting question for me.
Yeah.
Like it's such a slam dunk simple thing with like screws, right? You're like, we go through screws.
And they're cheap.
And they're cheap. But like we've come across this a little bit. We haven't figured out how we're going to handle it. With our tooling where it's like, okay, this is a $250 carbide reamer. I don't really need to, and I don't really want to. Mm-hmm. We don't use it very often.
Right.
If we break it, we're going to just order another one. But in classic Kanban form, if we pull it from the drawer, it's now below the minimum. It goes into the reorder. So what do we do for this tool that's in use?
Right.
But then if it does break, there's no like automatic trigger that says, okay, somebody has to go get the thing and put it in the now it needs to be ordered.
And so I have a dumb answer to that, which is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
Which is what we're doing in our paint department is I literally just have a card next to each bottle of paint.
Uh-huh.
There is no automatic trigger. It's more like, oh, I picked up that, that seems light. And I know we use this color a lot. This is all in my head, obviously imperfect.
Yeah.
So much better than having no card.
Yeah.
And then having to remember to reorder it, remember where to go on their website to add it to my cart. So like in the reamer case, you could have a Kanban in the bin that has a minimum of 0 and a reorder of 1.
Right. Which we do.
And then at some point you're using that reamer and it breaks and you're like, oh God, you go back to the drawer and you pull it out and drop it in the bin. And now it's just a seamless, like info is tracked. Are you heavily reliant on people being good? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it way better than the alternative where it's like, unless you actually go and order it that second, there's a good chance it's going to get dropped. Also then you go over to your computer to order and you're like, well, while I'm placing this order, what else do we need from these people?
It's, yeah, it's also maybe a scale question. Like if I was to think about the $250 reamer as a single use, as a single case,
mm-hmm.
if that broke mid job, it's probably going to cost me more than that $250 additional sitting in the drawer. Mm. So maybe I just need to buck up and say, we do have a minimum of two for everything, or a minimum of one rather.
Right.
And we keep two on hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the doing that all at once across our entire tool library is painful.
Painful for the wallet.
Painful for the wallet.
Yeah.
But over the next 10 years, it probably will save more money than it costs.
That's an interesting question. I think there's another class of item, which is if you, let's say you get a job in the system for that requires that $250 reamer,
uh-huh.
and then you're going to start machining it a week and a half later.
Yeah.
You have the time to get that item in stock.
Right.
And it's interesting because once it's in stock and you use it, you don't then throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Then it has a place to live. And so now the minimum is zero, but you need to make sure that if you go shopping for it when you get the job in the system, that triggers the order, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, now I need it.
And that's the challenge, and that's of having forward-looking...
Yeah.
Being forward looking enough to know what you're going to need.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to go like, oh, ERP time. And then you take on, you choose your hard.
Right.
That's your new ongoing hard. Instead of like what you're saying is like, well, what if I just like sit on a $250 reamer and that's the cost of.
Yeah. I would take that cost any day over.
Yeah.
Yeah. ERP hard.
Yeah. ERP hard is a hard to pick.
Yeah. At least at our scale.
Yeah. But I think there is a world, like there was a video by the Closet Doctor that I was trying to find,
uh-huh.
where they deal with this problem in an interesting way, where when they get an order in, the first thing they do is go shopping for it in their supply shop.
Mm.
And suddenly...
Yeah, I can see that being very beneficial.
Yeah, because that makes it forward looking.
Yeah.
Right? That means that in the time between, like, firstly, another job isn't coming in and stocking it out.
Right.
But in the case, bringing that back to this reamer concept, that's tricky also, because what if you have two jobs in the shop that uh-huh. require that reamer, and you went shopping for a $250 reamer and it's sitting on a bench for the next week and a half
for another job,
It's yeah. like, well, it's totally yeah. usable.
Yeah.
But I think that would enable you to have a minimum of zero if you did go theoretically shopping for it, which would just be like, hey, if there's nothing in the bin, you have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's high on my list. So happy to jump into the weeds.
In our particular instance, it gets tricky, right? Like if that's a new job.
Yeah.
And we haven't programmed it yet.
Right.
We may not know that we need the reamer until we program it. So there's like, it's just that how much do you front load the work of getting a job to the shop floor prior to it actually needing to land on the shop floor.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes back. That's like a, right. We're dealing with the conflicting benefits of like just in time versus mm-hmm. not just in time.
Low inventory.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
My hunch, and I think you're on the same page here, is that $250 reamer is the cheap option.
It is definitely the cheap option.
But it's funny because another option would be to be willing to spend more on shipping, right? Because that would shrink your delivery times.
Yeah. Or we could just do what we do right now, which is rely on MSC's free overnight upgrade.
Yeah. I mean, that's viable.
It is. Yeah.
Like that's a pretty good system because it means you don't need to.
It's decently good as long as you catch it at one day ahead.
Yeah.
It's got to be at least one day.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. I just got this book. I showed it to you. It is called the compelling title of TurboFlow. It's a PFEP, plan for every part. I think the reason I'm interested in reading it, it's basically about like how to design systems to deliver parts from your warehouse to your line.
Yeah.
But this is at like high scale, like auto assembly, like really significant throughput lines that are reliably putting out X number per hour kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think the reason I'm excited to read it is I think it's going to shine quite a bit of light on the analysis side for like, when is your signal? When do you know the thing?
Yeah.
What is your time to delivery? And how do you break out that data?
Mm.
And I think it's going to be very useful for this exact question.
Yeah.
We've had an interesting one. So one of the reasons we built Arda to begin with for internal use before we were like, oh, let's spin this up, was actually to change all of our Kanbans,
right,
to reduce the number they call for and increase the number of cards in the shop.
Right. Like this all started just so you didn't have to handwrite.
Right.
Kanbans, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes. And so we were actually revisiting this yesterday because we've had a lot of stockouts because demand is up. And what we're realizing again for the second time, but I think we're actually in a position to implement this, is that reducing the amount we produce per item, per card, is going to increase the availability across the board because if you think about an unpopular color,
yeah,
and then it just happens to trigger today,
yeah,
we're going to paint that unpopular color where the last one we paint today is probably going to ship in like 2 months.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there is also stuff that needs to ship today.
A whole queue of popular colors that didn't get painted.
Yeah. And so then tomorrow we have a stockout on a popular item because we painted too many of the unpopular item.
Yeah.
And so we're essentially trading the cost of like setup time in the paint department. So what we're realizing is and I think we've had this realization before, we're re-realizing it and we're in a position to actually make the change. Which is produce in batches of 8 instead of 32 and then just have a lot of cards. And then every day we're going to pick colors, but it's going to be a very wide mix of parts that get painted that color.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be like, you know, 3 racks of 8 of our pin ladder lock and only 2 racks of 8 of whatever, our 3/4 body, and then 1 rack of 8 of the cam.
And will there just be more cards in circulation for the popular colors?
Yeah, I think overall there will be, I'm guessing it will actually allow us to drop our inventory pretty significantly because we're not going to have the problem of demand, sort of like of Kanban in the system for stuff that really doesn't need to ship anytime soon.
Yeah.
And so like all of those colors that don't turn really fast, they still clog the system to the same degree.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to really allow us to drop inventory levels. But yeah, it's going to add cards to all the colors but reduce total inventory.
Because you might have like whatever, orange might be popular. You might have like 4 products. You might have 4 batches of orange on a single day, 4 cards worth of orange.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
But 1 of blue or whatever.
Yeah, or 8 of orange cams, which ship in a lot of different configurations.
Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty popular one, or it drives a lot of use. And then 8 of the cams, but only like 1 of the body.
Uh-huh.
And maybe 2 of the 1-inch pin ladder lock, all in orange. And so it's a big batch of orange, but it's a high variety that is more in line with true pull from the consumer.
Yeah.
Anyway, kind of fun to think about.
That is cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, sorry. We're off.
Tangent. Kanban tangent.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I'll go through a few. So I think I mentioned this last episode, but we propagated our new job work order slips to the shop floor that tie back to the new Airtable base. That was kind of the trigger point, was being like, when are we actually going to launch this to the shop floor in a way that like the information will be accessible to everybody, aside from just going and hunting, which is not effective.
Right.
So that was cool. A bunch of the orders, we have duplicates. So like they had already been propagated to the shop floor on the old system.
Okay.
So we did we have both work order slips traveling with them right now. So that you can go to either.
Huh.
And then
to make sure sort of the handoff was good.
Make sure the handoff is good. And then, in case like there's information missing in the new system that didn't get copied over or something like that for a repeat job.
Yep.
Did a whole host of changes in the actual Airtable base to add functionality. Basically, my friend built it out. It was kind of like a skeleton of like, here's your basic things of what, you know, your basic structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, actually in this one, we need this field. We need this field. We need this attachment field. We need this little whatever math thing to calculate how much stock we're actually going to use. We,
interesting.
You know, so it was basically like actually fleshing it out to be functional. Part of that was adding the whole QR code functionality that we basically just copied over. It's just like a simple automation with a plugin that copied over from our other system. We also added QR generation to our SOP knowledge base table.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which we haven't started to use yet, but now it's there and there's a sticker printout ready. So if anybody decides, hey, I want to stick a sticker here that you can scan back to, it will be
living the dream.
Zero friction. Yeah.
Excellent.
That kind of was a big eye opener to realize like there's still like the search functionality in Airtable is decent. So you can go to the SOP's knowledge base tab and be like, okay, I want to find something about decent the gripper. Decent is so different. And once I scanned a couple QR codes and they went directly to,
you're like, I was like,
this is going to be amazing. We've also had like a lot of sickness in the shop recently. So people have been out. So I was
people
like,
are down with the sickness.
Yeah. I was doing some laser marking the other day.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, where's the little slip of paper? I was like, if we had a QR code right here that scanned, they were like one that was like aluminum, one that was stainless steel.
Right.
And it scanned back to just a text that says all the settings would be very, very cool.
Yeah. And the other super cool thing about it is there's that workflow of you're sort of not new to it, but like not your typical thing.
Yeah.
And then there's the flip side, which is on the data capture side, it's also so much lower effort where like someone just realized something new and they're like, oh, I should remember this for next time. It's like, scan the QR code, type it in, you're done. It's not like, oh, where was that in Airtable? Yep. What did I call the thing to search for it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What else? Got an iPad for use at our tool station.
Awesome.
So you can, and we had a conversation about this, like the whole like, mobile device versus desktop and scanner.
Right.
I'm still not sure exactly where each makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say place for each, I think.
There is a place for each. I'm leaning towards mobile devices maybe making a lot of sense in more places than I would have thought. Like, basically, I think the only time you need a desktop or laptop is when you're going to be like regularly entering information.
I would agree with that. I wonder if there's a way to make a keyboard station so you'd walk over with your iPad.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't want it to be Bluetooth because then it would be paired like specifically.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But I wonder if that would be kind of cool. So you could scan something, walk over, like plug in an...
The main benefit, I think, honestly, is screen size.
Oh, interesting. I was thinking keyboard because for me, I like the keyboard.
Yeah, keyboard is nice. But also being able to view the information at a reasonable scale. And if you're looking at prints,
right?
For like I'm thinking about a workstation at a machine where you need to pull up a print, potentially in the future need to pull up a CAD cam to make edits or something. But I got iPad for at the tool station so you can search easily. So if you're like, come over and you're like, I need to find a 3/8 end mill.
Mm-hmm.
Or like this happened today. A tool hadn't been put away. It was just at a workstation. I was like, I don't know what number this is. It's not attached to anything anymore. But I was able to just filter and search and find the ID number and put it away, which was pretty cool.
That's super cool.
And we'll be able to scan the QR codes with the camera for the Kanban if we need to. I don't think we're going to order from there. But
probably do. I wonder if you could laser the QR codes onto tools.
Oh, I'm sure you could, but that would be a lot of work. Like it time. It
would be. Yes.
I'm not sure if it would. I don't know if the cost benefit is
probably
there.
Probably not. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. I'm excited about the iPad thing. We're going to add one to our sawing station as well, because right now that is a go find the information, then walk back to the saw, hold it in your head
situation. Okay, yes. Being like cognizant of that is so difficult. We just added, one of our computers died. We stole the computer for somewhere else. Like, I needed it in the paint department. The one in the paint department died, so I replaced it with one from downstairs. So now we haven't had like a receiving area with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead you walk sort of across the shop to another computer, do some things, and then you end up walking back and forth a lot. And it's so easy to get used to it. So our improvement yesterday was adding a computer and a scanner back at the receiving station. And so that's now going to be like our ordering and receiving.
Yeah.
And we're going to do receiving as part of like the morning warm up kind of routine.
Oh, okay.
Like warm up the CNC, turn on the stuff, you know, get the shop going. So that's going to be part of that. But yeah, so easy to like, and then you make these changes and it is just a brave new world. You're like, how did we, what were we thinking? I don't know. It's very funny.
Yeah. Also, we got a dedicated shipping computer and another roller printer.
Nice.
For that station.
Oh, cool.
So we've had a shipping computer that was combined with our laser print, our laser marker, and like the physical layout was not ideal.
Oh, cool.
So just got another laptop, and we're going to see how that works. Also, that the plan is for that to be the primary ordering and receiving computer. I'm not sure if that's going to end up working. Like, there might be conflicts of use.
Right. Like someone's shipping and then you want to go do some ordering.
Yeah. Or like the plan, I think, is to generate all of our Kanban cards there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that might just be too many things packed in one spot. We'll see how it kind of works out. But
right.
Yeah. I got another Rollo printer with it.
Okay.
And I think we've had three different sticker sizes in the shop, which has been this like weird constraint that is like, you know, trying to match physical sticker size to what it's going on.
Yeah.
And then, but also like, okay, which computer do I print this at? Like, can a computer even recognize three different Rollo printers and like easily distinguish between them?
Interesting.
Kind of a thing. But I think I had a realization that one of these classic, like, I'm such an idiot after the fact.
Okay.
Right now we use 4x6 shipping labels for our work order slips.
Okay.
And shipping, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we use 1x4 stickers for our like stock tags. And they go on our little like clip-on deals on sheet pans to like designate, you know, what parts are and stuff.
Right.
And then we had 1x2 stickers, which we had sized because they are the correct size for our tool tags.
Okay.
Those have a 1x2 little like...
I think I see where this is going.
...tab on them.
Uh-huh.
So I've been like, okay, we need to have 1x2s. Let's try and optimize around that for our, like our Kanban, and cause so that we can have the same sticker for in our tool drawers, on our tool tags, on our Kanban, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, but we still need these 1x4s cause they're really useful. Like, there's too much information. And then I was standing there and I was like, oh, you can just wrap the sticker
fold it over the back
around the back of the tool tag.
Very nice.
So I think we're going to get rid of the 1x2s.
Oh, cool.
And just have 1x4s. So we can just have two printers at each station where you need to print multiple things. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. These are really small things, and I bring them up because small things compound.
Yeah.
And also just like giving yourself the time during work to fix problems that you come across instead of like, I don't know. So for a while now I have been, we did a rebrand a while ago and there's still been a few places where the old logo is like built into the, what's it called? Into the signature.
Yeah.
Or like, I actually just found one again today, which is on our shipping labels. It still shows the old logo. So I've been tracking more of those down. And just taking the time to replace them. we've been experiment a big bold this is an experiment two bin system instead of, for a long time at our assembly area, we just we have inventory separated by a Kanban or an order card. And so you have this, you work from in front of it and then you pull the card and you're working from the back of it.
Yep.
This is another one of those, like, I cannot believe we've been doing it this long, just like muscling through, but to get the parts from the paint department to the assembly area, there's like nothing to travel in. And so you're like, sort of like, we carry them up in these stainless steel baskets because they have to go in the oven before.
Uh-huh.
So they gas out in these stainless steel baskets. And then we carry them upstairs in the baskets. And then we've sort of been like putting them back in the baskets. But sometimes those baskets don't stay up there. And so then you're like going back downstairs to get the bins you want at the assembly station. It's such a mess.
Yeah.
It is such a mess. And so we're finally tackling it. It's just weird how these things like sneak up on you. Like they're just there and you struggle with them every day. And it's just, it's a mix of time and awareness and like mental energy and all that.
Yeah.
Because like, you can't just stop everything that's silly and fix it today. Like you just can't.
Yeah. And it's those funny little things too, that we had a similar issue with our tooling Kanban. So because we don't want to have multiple bins for each tool, like
little bin, divider. A bunch of tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our move for the last few years has been to bundle the card with the tools at the quantity that you want, but it destroys the card
because
it's getting wrapped around the tool. You got to go find a rubber band. And so we're like, how do we deal with this? Do we have like a card that separates the ones below, but then if they're not big enough, it's going to sit weird and
yep.
And then finally we're like, well, let's just put them in a bag.
Mm.
So we're trying that out now. It's like card and minimum quantity go in a Ziploc.
Yep.
That's size.
That's what we do for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like pretty nice. Option. The cool thing about the QR code also is suddenly you barely need to display any information. And so you can make really small tags.
Yeah. Yeah. They're tiny.
Yeah. Which is kind of ideal.
Yeah.
Like before it was like, oh, I'm trying to stick the vendor number on, like, you know, the part number for the vendor and whatever.
Yeah.
We also, this is a tiny little thing, but it's just not. It turns out is labeling bins. We have so many unlabeled bins, and so every time you go find something or you're looking at it and there's a moment of like non-clarity and you go like, is it in here, is it a different bin, is what goes in this bin, like you go to replenish a part that's stocked out and it's not labeled, and so suddenly you're like,
you can't just, where does this go?
Yeah even better than a label is definitely a visual control.
Right.
So that's something we've started talking about. Now that we have a two bin system, we're eliminating labels actually from those bins so that that can just be a circulating standard bin.
Uh-huh.
And then we want to mount a visual control example of the part to the front of the shelf where that part goes.
Oh, that makes sense.
So then when it's empty,
yeah,
which it shouldn't ever be, but
right.
You know, but as we lower that water level, rocks do poke out. And yeah. It's nice to move through them smoothly.
Nice. Our sweet Amazon deal on a barcode scanner was a dud.
Damn.
It worked great. And then it stopped working. So I ordered a bunch of used Honeywell, like standard scanners.
Okay. Yep.
That was decent. I think 2 out of 4 we're good.
Okay.
I think we might get 4 out of 4. We'll see. One of them's not turning on. One of them has a bad USB connector, but they're like 20, 25 bucks a pop. So yep. It's kind of,
so if 2 out of 4 work, they're now 50 bucks a pop instead of like 120.
Yeah. Or I think they're even more than that new.
So that's,
it's, we're still definitely pretty ahead. Good. Yeah. And that's going to be pretty key to this whole system functioning.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the last thing I have for this week.
Very cool. Yeah, I know I've missed some, but, you know, this is a good sampling, hopefully.
Yeah.
Thanks all for listening. As always, please check out our Patreon if you haven't. The link is in the description.
Subscription.
In the subscription. if you get value out of this, if you enjoy the podcast, the biggest compliment would be telling a friend about it.
Yeah.
Spread the word, get more people in here. You can find me at austere_manufacturing on Instagram and austeremfg.com on the internet and arda.cards also on the internet for the Kanban ordering system.
Yeah. You can find me at lichenprecision.com on the internet, lichen_mfg on Instagram, and the pod at incrementalci on Instagram. And we will talk to you very soon.